Good afternoon. Today is Monday, November the 4th, 334th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills.
That's me.
Yeah. Day one and counting, huh? And now is it Captain Harpum again? Okay. Merle said he's not going to do any talking, so he's just sitting over there nodding. But okay, Captain Harpum. That kind of I know it's going to sound a little goofy. That ought to be on the gravestone. Captain with an asterisk, and then underneath everything else.
Yeah. Let's just delay the tombstone thing.
Another
2 decades or three.
Yeah,
that's better than a couple ideas I've heard about. Yeah. Stuffing me like Trigger and setting me behind the desk.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we could bring in a taxidermist. Oh, this afternoon we'll talk a little bit about some of the things Andy's got in store for us, and a couple of things I've got in store for him. We'll figure out whose store is bigger when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information, Times 313. Back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills and Merle Harpum. But before we do, our quote, Merle, you got to get that microphone out of your ear and into your face there, man. It's just not going to work that way. 30, 40 years, eventually it'll start clicking in for him. Our quote this afternoon comes from Johnny Carson.
Oh, boy.
You ready? Things to do in Burbank. Number one. Go to the Safeway parking lot for the roller skating festival called Holiday on Tar. Jeez.
that's what you came up with today?
I can find another one. Here we go. It's easier to be gigantic than to be beautiful.
Well, I know. You're the living example. Yeah.
So, Andy, when you describe to your buddies back in San Diego what what you got yourself into here, how do you describe Eureka with all of its flavors and colors?
You know, Eureka is very much like Ocean Beach, which is a section of San Diego. It's almost the same demographic and size and in terms of people and color and all that kind of thing, because you've got a large transient population, a large traveler population, a homeless segment, a lot of people trying to help, as well as a very strong, normal community that is intent on trying to live a peaceful life in the midst of it all, and all in a beach community.
So when you say that, do their eyes roll back? Do they shake their head? Are you kidding me?
You know, yeah, we won't go into all the into the specifics.
Oh, and other responses too.
Other responses, but you know, we were talking during the break. This is a big bite, but I took it for that reason. This is a opportunity to sink our teeth into something, to really work with community, to collaborate, and to find longer term solutions. You know, we can push through enforcement. You know, problems from location to location. But what I really want to do is to collaborate to find a little bit longer term solutions. And we're not going to see wholesale change overnight. But what we can do is incrementally see change. And before you know it, the problems have subsided at some level. We shouldn't expect that there's not going to be any more homelessness in Eureka, because it's in every city up and down the coast.
Mills is here, all of a sudden everybody's going to scatter?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The rumors were true.
So when you look at the challenge that Eureka has, what's the low-hanging fruit? What's going to be the easiest thing to deal with?
Well, I divided it between internal and external challenges. There are some internal challenges that we need to take a look at. And then there's some external challenges that we need to take a look at. I think the low-hanging fruit, the first thing is building the relationships and the collaboration necessary to make things happen externally. Outside the police department. I think that from what I have seen up to this point, there's a very, very strong, cohesive community. Many different perspectives, many people with different views on things. But I think it's a very strong community where people can work together shoulder to shoulder to find solutions, longer-term solutions. And so that is the lowest hanging fruit to me, is getting that group together and making sure that we're all marching the same direction, uniquely marching, but walking the same direction. And then
herding cats.
Yeah, well, okay. that's every community. And then, secondly, going after some of the more entrenched problems to start making an impact. And we're going to do some real analytics to figure out, both in time and space and victim and suspect, and to figure out what's the best solutions that we can tailor make and who's responsible for each of these solutions to deal with them.
Are you thinking service providers?
All the above. Service providers, nonprofits, faith community, neighborhoods, residents. There's a variety of solutions. I mean, I can put out 100 stories. In the past, I've had a group of neighbors who were very upset about a local drug house that the police had raided time and time, and the police had done their job. It was to the point where it was really becoming a source of frustration. We got a volunteer to head the community group up. They wound up taking the owner of that piece of property to small claims court. Each of them sued that guy for $5,000 apiece at the time. That was the max. He lost a $75,000 judgment. They got his attention. And guess what? No more drug dealers at that house. So there are other solutions that are out there that we can look for other than just enforcement. From what I have seen, the Eureka Police Department, they are very capable of doing enforcement.
Well, we figured out a way to burn them down, too. Merle? Huh? Yeah.
Let them do their own
mess. Yeah, just kind of blow boom, and there it goes. Yeah. You know, the problem, I think, is Woods and his guys show up so quickly.
Exactly.
You know, that you just don't quite have the chance to complete the job. Yeah, there's probably other suggestions that have been made also.
Yeah.
You said one day on the job?
Less than one day.
We're at
half a day right now.
Make this into a 2-day. That one was my thought entirely. Well, almost entirely. KINS, News and Information Times 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. Merle Harpham's over in the shadows there. If you see something lurking, that's Merle. Andy, you talked a little bit about some of the internal changes and external changes. When you say internal, are you thinking of things of like deployment, relations between EPD and the other police departments in the area, that kind of stuff? Or are you talking about blowing up the machine here and starting all over and coming in from a completely different perspective?
No, we're not going to blow up anything. It's already been blown up by Merle. what I'm referring to is there's some internal things that we need to take care of. Our dispatchers are overworked. We have a very fantastic crew of communicators and radio operators. They do both phones and radio. They are overworked, and I've got to somehow bring relief to them. Those are the kind of internal things that that we need to make some changes to. I know it's been being worked on. Merle's been already in front of that, trying to get new dispatchers. In fact, they had a test today. I think they had 14 people come in to test. So we're working on that, but we need to find a longer term idea of how to manage this a little bit better. But to answer your question, also do need to work with other agencies in the county. Mike Downey and I have been talking on a regular basis, even before I got here. He and our wives have gone out to lunch just to make sure that we're on the same page and moving forward the same direction.
It's not that he heard rumors about you before you were hired, and he was just trying to keep you out of town.
I told him I wasn't going to run for sheriff. I don't know.
Merle, we used to have substations in the area. Is there a need?
Police or fire? Got a lot of fire substations.
Yeah. is there a need for something like that? I mean, the neighborhood watch program, the neighborhood cop concept, okay. But Henderson Center is far enough away, and I know Myrtletown hasn't been annexed yet, but
we have two.
Old Town. Is there an opportunity to expand that to have kind of the neighborhood cop thing going on, or at least to see cars in each of the neighborhoods of Eureka? Does that make any sense, or is that not effective?
No, I'd see what you're saying. Neighborhood Watch is changing dramatically right now. There's neighborhood.org, and where neighbors are communicating via social media and talking about crime in the area. It's been a huge success almost everywhere it's been. I know that Eureka has that, as well as Facebook and other things where people are communicating more effectively. With the staffing,
maybe even talking to each other.
Maybe yes, yeah. Instead of screaming at each other, which is great. And with the amount of staffing we have, and as busy as these folks are, I don't see having them fractured in different locations in the city as far as permanent assignment. Now, just so the public does know, we do place officers on beats. An officer is responsible for a certain section of the city, and that officer will be responsible for that section of the city. In the future, I could see us assigning geographical areas to supervisors or managers so that they know who to get a hold of and who to contact so that there is a ready way of doing that.
But not like a storefront with the PSO or a volunteer there and kind of being kind of like the center of the day's
hub.
Activity for those guys that are assigned that beat.
Yeah, it's a luxury that we'd love to be able to afford. I don't think that we can right now.
Does that stuff work?
I think it has mixed review. I think if you look at the data from the National Institute of Justice, it does not show that much of an improvement in crime. It does make people feel better, though, about having a PSO or a police officer in the neighborhood. But as far as combating crime, it has very little to do with it.
I wouldn't think they'd be knocking over the police station.
No, well, that's just one building out of many they're not going to raid. Although one never knows these days, right, Merle?
Hey, you guys had a little incident over the weekend? Is that what you're indicating?
No, it's been pretty quiet.
Yeah. Jeez. When there's an arrest made and the officer is taking the person, I guess, to be arraigned or to be detained, does that beat get backfilled?
No, not right away. Sometimes there's a extra officer assigned to the watch. So if you have five beats, you may have six officers working. But at the same time, if you've got a significant incident, that'll drain the other beats.
Yeah, we've had plenty of those, haven't we? Holy cow. So how do you manage crime? Or can you manage crime?
I think you can manage crime. If we can't, then why do we have the police? I think that you have to do a couple of things. One is you have to be pretty thoughtful about who you go after. And I think through intelligence-led policing, where you're collecting information to figure out who are the shot callers and shooters, you want to get the most violent off the street as quickly as possible. That way, the community has the opportunity to do the things that only community members can do, such as create space for them to prevent a crime. And so it's kind of a two-sided deal.
So as you're, continuing with left hand, right hand, the high frequency offender versus the major incident offender. Who takes a higher priority?
The violent one. The one thing I can't tolerate as chief of police is people will be violent in this community. And so those are the folks that will be our focus. And especially as we deal with the AB 109 people, the people that let out of prison through the realignment, those are the ones who are violent offenders are going to have to get a lot of focus from the police and the community.
KINS, News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Merle Harpum. Okay, some from Merle Harpum and more from Andy Mills.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills and Eureka Police Captain Merle Harper. Andy, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, with recruitment, certainly, retention, even more so.
Yeah.
Is that a reflection of the times? Does every police department have turnover? And it's just turnover, and once you have somebody for a period of time, boom, they're moving on to... you know, greener fields or a promotion, that kind of stuff. Is that endemic?
It is absolutely endemic statewide, if not nationwide. I can't think of a police department in the state that's not struggling with this issue. You know, it's a different generation. And I think we as in policing need to adapt to this new generation and figure out a way to manage it rather than trying to force them to be what I was, you know, 1977. Or Merle was in
1977. Let's give him a little credit there.
But, you know, so managing their expectations and managing what they view as important and what their careers mean to them is very different. I mean, when I took this job, you know, way back then, there was no doubt in my mind I would finish at 30-some years and sail off into the sunset. A lot of these kids truly don't care about that. And so we're going to have to figure out a way to manage that better.
A transition? Or it just isn't quite the calling that it was for some others?
You know, I've always, my personal belief is that policing is a calling. And that you really, you take this job because you are making an impact on society and that you're really making a difference. Many others view this as just a job, a decent paying job. I don't get that. Because why would you risk your life for just a job? But at the same time, they do. And I think the ones that we can hook that view this as more than just a job are the ones that stay for the long term. And we also need to manage them correctly to make sure that we keep them by making sure that their families are taken care of as well as themselves.
Because things change during somebody's career, how do you identify the calling? Or the genetic predisposition is how I kind of refer to it.
Yeah.
Some others call it a weakness, but that's okay. Deficiency.
I'll accept that.
Yeah. How do you separate? Is that like the 5-year mark or the 10-year mark where they kind of begin to reevaluate and say, yes, this is something I really do like doing, or, you know, this really isn't what I thought it would be?
Yeah. There are those who get to that 5 to 7 year mark. And really accelerate in their careers, and their interest shows. They begin reading academic journals, and they begin going to conferences, and they begin falling asleep while they read those academic journals. But the point is they become very interested in their jobs. I think the worst thing that can happen to somebody is they get 10 or 15 or 20 years into us, and they feel trapped. And there's nothing else for them to do because it's such a good-paying job that they can't get elsewhere.
Well, there's it's interesting that you bring that up, because I would think that there are so many areas of specialization within law enforcement that to feel trapped would be something that would really be an interesting dynamic to know a little bit more about, because they could, you know, you want free, become, go into the investigation part. You want the, go into the, you want administration, go in. I mean, there are so many different venues that avenues, are there, yeah, for somebody to be able to play with.
Yeah. You know, I read a study that talked about there are 70 different potential jobs to learn within one's career. That is a lot of information to grab. And if you're here for 25 years, you're doing three a year. You know, of course, this guy's got one a year going, but, yeah. but, you know, so you can, there's a plenty to learn and to grow and to stretch yourself. I think some people just wind up getting stagnant, and I think in any profession that can happen.
Do you want a cop that's just a cop driving around 25 years? I mean, they know what they're doing, very proficient at it. Everybody knows who they are. Do you want that?
I think there's room for both. My bent and my preference is for the proactive officer who's out there contacting people, both positive and negatively. You know, parolee walking down the street.
Well, I'm thinking it's a career choice.
Yeah.
I just want to drive in the rig. I like to be out there. That's where I want to be. Don't put me behind a desk.
Well, we're not going to knowingly hire people that way. But I think that at certain points in your career, you become less enthused about a profession you chose, and those are the people that I feel sorry for because they're trapped.
But
I'm not going to purposely hire somebody that just wants to, you know.
But as a top cop, that would be okay if that's what somebody felt comfortable with doing, and they didn't want to advance beyond that level, and they just really liked that part of the job.
Yeah, to me it is.
KINS News and Information Times 3:41. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. Andy, as you look forward in the job, obviously there's going to be a lot of unknowns, a lot of thises and a lot of thats. Are we stable? Is this a fluid area? Is this a stable one? Are the challenges for policing here predictable?
I don't know that they're predictable, but they're consistent with other cities, not only its size, but other cities throughout the state. One of the unique things I've learned from talking with a lot of people here and going to restaurants, and my wife and I have, and spoken with waitresses and waiters and business owners, and people feel like Eureka has problems that are just unique to Eureka. That is not the case.
We don't get out too far.
When we moved up here, we stopped in Santa Barbara. I have a 125-pound bulldog that can only last so long in a car. So we stopped in Santa Barbara and then San Jose, and then we got here to Eureka the third night. And transient homelessness issues in Santa Barbara, transient homelessness issues in San Jose, dope issues at both locations. I'm standing in a restaurant in San Jose, and the guy's stereo is so loud, I can't hear myself think. I think I was vibrating up and down the sidewalk. These are consistent problems everywhere. Now, Eureka's problems may be more intense in some areas and then less in some other areas, but certainly it's not abnormal, if you will.
No, but having a 125-pound bulldog is.
Well, that's, yeah.
Yeah, gee, what a shame, huh? And the fence is fenced? Top to bottom. I mean, you wouldn't want that buddy of yours to get out there and cause havoc.
She's 13. Her name is Justice, as in Justice of the Peace.
Yeah, okay.
And she's
not just us. Like,
yeah,
yeah, okay.
And then she's 13 years old and can barely move. But
oh, that explains the 125. I had visions of ripped.
Yeah, no, no, no.
Apparently,
no.
It's Ripple.
Yeah, yeah. She'll be happy to hear you say that.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah. Well, gum me to death next time.
She doesn't have any bottom teeth, how'd you know?
So what do we, where do we start to see that incremental change that you were talking about?
When?
When and where? Where do we start to feel that things are starting to happen?
Well, one of the things I want to do is make our crime statistics mapped and a little bit user-friendly so that people can see it for themselves. I want them to have the ability to look at the same crime data that the police do. That, to me, is part of being transparent, so that they're able to take a look at these things and they can judge for themselves that we're improving or declining. And we'll be honest and objective with that. I think that to where we can impact is start chipping away at these some of these significant issues, homelessness and whatnot. Now, the hotel-motel ordinance that was just implemented, I think, is a great place to start. And I think those are the kind of things that you're going to see as the problem-oriented policing, is the idea of taking on some of these larger underlying conditions that drive crime and drive calls for service. Sunday, I was listening to the radio, police radio, and I did listen to
that would AM be the radio. Second class radio for anybody who's not familiar with. Okay.
And I was in a short period of time, I heard five radio calls dispatched to our officers for burglar alarms. All five of them were cleared as false calls. This is common in every police department up and down the state. So that's one of the things that we're going to have to take a look at, is how do we create the space for our officers to go out there and do police work.
So by false, that would be triggered by somebody not knowing how to turn on or off their own, or an electrical pulse, or a cheapy system.
Or failed. Leaving their window open when it's motion sensitive and the curtains blow, or leaving a dog in the house when it's motion sensitive.
Didn't we used to have like a charge?
Yes, we do.
It's still in effect?
Still do.
Okay. So much. 5 out of 5.
Yep.
That's disturbing.
The statistics are 98.3% of burglar alarms are false.
Yeah, that's got to be tough for the folks, your folks,
yeah,
responding and not anticipating nothing.
Well, then you have a sense that this is just a routine call for service, and you know, and I hear officers wave each other off on these things, and you know, that's, we don't want to be complacent on those types of calls, but I would like to reduce them, and I think that we can work with the owners and with the alarm industry to do that.
Comes an officer safety issue.
It does.
They get complacent.
Well, neighborhood safety too.
Sure.
I mean, everybody's going to be, wow, that high a figure. That's stunning.
And I don't know that figure is here.
No, but that's national average.
Yeah, it's significant.
Wow. Okay, well, I'm not going to pursue that one any further. Thanks for coming by. Stirring it up with me now. Welcome to day two tomorrow,
hey,
by the way.
Hey, thank you.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.